I want to get your mind kind of focused in that area.
Oh, yes. I remember a poor, deluded professor who used to sing me this song.
Billions and billions of years ago, a blob climbed out of the sea. He looked at the sky and yelled, "I'd like to fly," and poof, he sprouted some wings. He climbed up a tree to the very tip top. He jumped off a limb and he hit with a plop. He broke both his legs, so he started to hop.
Ribbit, ribbit.
Billions and billions of years ago. We know it's absurd and it doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years. Billions and billions of years ago, a frog went out for a stroll. The froggy went purr, "I could sure use some fur," and poof, hair started to grow. It grew on his hands and his little webbed feet. It grew on his head and it really looked neat. He thought, "I'm a monkey, I'll swing from a tree." Billions and billions of years ago.
Sing it, Clap.
No, it's absurd and it doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance. We know it's not science, but we're really sincere.
We're really sincere.
And it sure seems to help to add billions of years.
Now, class, listen carefully. Oh, this is the best part. Oh, you're going to love this now, listen. Billions and billions of years ago, a monkey sat on a rock.
He said with a wink,
"I'm a genius, I think."
And poof, he started to talk.
Oh, yes, he did. The problems of math he could now understand.
He made a trombone and he started a band. He changed from a monkey right into a man. Billions and billions of years ago.
Doesn't make sense, but we can explain if you give us a chance.
We know it's not science, but we're really sincere. And it sure seems to help to add billions of years.
It sure seems to help to add billions of years.
Billions and billions of years ago.
Very good, class, very good.
Now that right there shows you the miracle that they're trying to tell you evolution is. You see, they say it's science. And like the song says, they are really sincere. Sincerely wrong. But what they do is they try to get you to believe that they don't believe in miracles while they're asking you to believe in miracles. I gotta turn this air down. I crank this thing up. Hold on a second. I got another one for you here. You'll like this one. Let's see. Nope, not that one. Okay, here we go.
talks about a worldwide flood, of a worldwide flood, of a worldwide flood. If there really was a worldwide flood, what would the evidence be? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony hearse, with billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. The Bible talks about Noah and the ark in a worldwide flood, where the world was judged. If there really was a worldwide flood, what would the evidence be? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony hearse, with billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. The Bible talks about a worldwide flood. Could the fossil be the proof we see? If there really was a worldwide flood, what would the evidence be? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony hearse, with billions of dead things buried in rock layers, based on the water, all over the earth.
What evidence, right? We have evidence everywhere for what we believe, right? Those songs, that one's, that guy gets a little too honky-tonk for me sometimes, but, anyway, that's Buddy Davis with Answers in Genesis, and, the other songs were from, Patch the Pirates albums to children, and different creation songs and things like that, which I think are funny, you know, and, they're funny because, but they're very true, they give some true lessons, and it's comical to me because, literally, children can see the difference in what they're trying to sell people, right? They can see the difference. We're going to talk today about how Christians believe in science. We absolutely, we do not reject science. We accept science. We accept it and we believe it. And the Bible is full of good science. So, it's absolutely full of good science. And, we believe that. Amen. And, but they try to accuse us not, that we don't believe that. So, I'm gonna show you some of those things today. But those songs give a good lesson, right? They give you a good lesson, about those things, you know. They kind of give us some good indications and understandings of things. Simple forms, you know. Simple form, simply getting a point across, you know, to people and to children, how absurd evolution is, how absolutely absurd it is. And because it is absurd. Hi, Kelly. How are you doing? Hope you're doing fine. I hope you people are in a good mood today. Hope you're not in a sourpuss mood today. Right? Some of you sound like you're not in a very good mood today. I hope you get in a better mood. Right? I'll have to play another kid's song and I'll have to get you to think about your attitude. I'll have to play the pity party song if you're not being nice, I'm going to play that song. Let's see. You know what I might play? I like this one about Jesus will go walking with you, walking in the fire. I think I'll play that one if I can find it here. I have it. There it is right there. I think this is a good song. Right here.
Have you heard about the freedom men in Babylon of old? Who would not bow and worship to the statue made of gold? They went into the furnace, but they never did perspire.
'cause Jesus went a-walking with them, walking through the fire. Oh, standing for the Savior, trusting in His might, stepping in the furnace hot, sticking to the right. Just keep right up and serve the Lord and never, never tire, 'cause Jesus will go walking with you, walking through the fire. You're feeling kind of lonely as you're standing for the ride. If Satan tries to trick you into giving up the fight, remember God is faithful and the devil is a liar, 'cause Jesus will go walking with you, walking through the fire. Oh, standing for the Savior, trusting in His might, stepping in the furnace hot, sticking to the right. Just keep right up and serve the Lord and never, never tire, 'cause Jesus will go walking with you, walking through the fire. Oh, standing for the Savior, trusting in His might, stepping in the furnace hot, sticking to the right. Just keep right up and serve the Lord and never, never tire, 'cause Jesus will go walking with you, walking through the fire. 'Cause Jesus will go walking with you, walking through the fire. Walking, 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 walking through the fire. Walking through the fire.
Amen, and that He will do. Jesus does go walking with you through the fire. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been through some things in this life, then you know the goodness of God and that God will never leave you nor forsake you, that through His Holy Ghost He is with you, that Jesus made those promises to us, and His promises ring true always, that He is always there for us, and He is always loving us.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, make a joyful noise. Enter into His courts with praise, make a joyful noise. Know ye that the Lord He is God. And not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is everlasting, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth, His truth endureth, His truth endureth through all generations. Make a joyful, His truth endureth to all generations. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. Unto the Lord.
Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen. That's what God's people ought to be doing anyway. They ought to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord. That should be what our lives are. Amen. That should be what we do. Jimmy Britt says, I need some prayers. I'm taking care of both my elderly parents at their home. The insurance ran out and they are both disabled. Boy, that's rough. Definitely pray for you about that. And hope you're all doing well out there. And out there in YouTube land, in not just YouTube land, but actually all over the place. On Rumble. People are on Rumble. Amen. Joe McDonald. He's the only lone one over there on Rumble. He's by himself over there. I'm with you, Joe. I'm your brother and companion in tribulation, man. I'm there with you. I'm with Joe over there. All right, Joe's over there. Let's see. And then on Sermon Audio, we've got some folks over there. Five people over there on Sermon Audio. Let's see. Got some people jumping on. 33 people on YouTube. Over there. So usually we average anywhere from, who knows, 50 to 70 all over the platforms live. And then afterwards, a bunch of people join us later. And all that good stuff. Well, I thought I'd have some fun today with some science. This is a PowerPoint that I never put online. I taught through it, but you didn't see it. The members of Old Paths Baptist Church saw it, but you haven't seen it yet. And I thought that I would show you some things and I would have some fun. Right? I thought that I would have some fun here with all of you today, like I did before with my other science versus evolution teachings. I like to have fun with those. And they are a lot of fun. They really are. So anyway, I hope you can hear everything okay, which it looks like you can. And let's see. Where are we at over here on Rumble? Six people watching on Rumble now. We're going to make friends and influence people. Eight people watching on Rumble. We're going to make friends and influence people today on Rumble. Right? Making friends wherever we go. Well, probably not. Hey, I found out, though, I do have a lot of friends out there. I just don't know everybody. I do actually have a lot of friends out there. I do. They're all over the place. They get a hold of me all the time. So, anyway, I do have some out there. Sometimes you start thinking, my goodness, I might not have any friends. I might have made everybody mad in the whole world. I don't have any friends now. But that's not the case. There's God always has a remnant of people out there that still love the Lord and still want to see great things happen and still do all that good stuff. Rumble, yep, that's right. You could be on Rumble. You could be on YouTube. You could be on Facebook. You can even be on Facebook Live if you really want to be. I don't know why you'd want to be, but if you do want to be, you can be. And, of course, Sermon Audio. Okay? Sermon Audio. You can find us there. We are going to talk about creation versus evolution. We're going to actually talk about why Christians actually believe science. Right? They believe science. They just don't believe in evolution. The Bible defines science. The Bible talks of science. The Bible is full of science. So, we're going to look at that. I've got some quotes that I'm going to be giving you in a little bit. Let's see. Yes, a little bit I'll be giving you some quotes on the Big Bang when we get to it. Because really, evolutionists, they do not They want you to believe evolutionists want you to believe in their faith system. What they have is a faith system. Just like Christians believe by faith, God's word. Right? Big Whale says, I don't want friends, I want brothers. Well, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So Jesus said we could be his friends, right? So touche there for you, Leonard. Got you, buddy. Hope you're doing well. Gotta go. We'll catch up tomorrow when I'm on the road, Lord willing. All right. So anyway, no, that's not me. I was reading what Jessica said. We'll see you later. I gotta catch up later. Anyway. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready to have some fun with evolutionists? Are you ready to hear my corny creation versus evolution banter? Well, at least I'll laugh and have fun. Bill Nye, the not-so-scientific guy, right? Bill Nye has a common accusation that he makes against creationists, right? If you reject evolution, then you must be against science. So here's what they throw up at us. If you disagree with Darwinian evolution, then, well, you just don't believe in science, you knuckle-dragging ape. He said, if we continue to eschew science, eschew the process, and try to divide science into observational science and historic science, we are not going to move forward. We will not embrace natural laws. We will not make discoveries. We will not invent and innovate and stay ahead. Well, this was his opening statement in his debate with Ken Ham. But here's the thing. One of the greatest scientists ever and inventors ever recently, right? That we have out there, he was a Christian and he invented the first MRI machine. In fact, I'm going to talk about him maybe next week. I'm going to give you a list of men that were scientists that believed in God. They believed in the Bible. And they were inventors and scientists and very, very God-fearing people. Very intelligent people. Innovative people. But they believed in God. So the Nobel Peace Prize was withheld from them. Why? Well, because they believed in God. Well, you can't believe in God and believe science and explore science when the Christian would tell you that the whole foundation of what we believe, the science and understanding that we come from, we get that from the Bible. We believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, right? That's what we believe. And if you believe that, you must be against this. You must be against exploration. You must be against scientific discoveries. You must be against all those things. Right? Well, that's not true. We're not against science. In fact, we see it all over the Bible. God's word is the authority on science. See, you have to choose who you're going to, as a Christian, you choose. Does my authority for everything I believe in that sense come from the word of God, or does it come from the philosophies of men? Right? if it comes from the philosophies of men, then I will be moved from the Bible. But if my authority for what I believe comes from God, then I shall never be moved. Because God's word is the authority. Here is what we call the slippery slope fallacy. This is what Ken Ham talked about when he debated Bill Nye. Bill Nye said, if people know the difference between observation and assumption, science and technology will cease to exist. That's, in essence, that's what he's saying. He's saying, if we go down that road and you actually become critical and examine what these evolutionary scientists are saying, and they don't have any proof, but you just don't believe them, then you're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble as a society. See, that's what they believe. Why? Because that goes along with their blind faith belief system that they have. Truth is truth, regardless of the consequences, besides your supposed consequences in conflict with actual reality. It's not true. What he's saying, Bill Nye was saying is the furthest from the truth. Christians don't reject science. They don't reject repeatable, testable, observable. What we do disagree with is what they call science. In other words, they believe if a man rejects evolution, then he rejects science. I would say if a man rejects evolution, he rejects evolution. He rejects molecules to man. He rejects monkey to man. Species changing. Evolutionary thought process. Which should not be confused with observable, repeatable, and testable science. Yet, they would like you to believe, the evolutionists would like you to believe that, well, you just reject science. It's not true, though. It's a fallacy. It's a straw man that they throw up in the air to make you choose between evolution and creation. Well, our evolution and science. We believe in creation, and we also believe in science. Two times in the Bible, the word science is mentioned. Bible believers must view science biblically. See, everyone has an authority. Everyone. No matter who you are, everyone has an authority. Everyone. Something that they use to base everything on. My standard of truth is the Word of God. I believe what God says. I believe God. And why do I believe God? Because God is an eyewitness. God was an eyewitness to His creation. God told us exactly how He created man and all things in 6 days. He told us how He did it. Now, scientists would always tell you, evolutionary scientists, right? They would tell you that if they had an eyewitness to these things, to things taking place, that would be credible. Yet they expect you, when it comes to the Big Bang and other things, that you're to believe it without a witness. Which we'll get to some of their quotes a little bit later about that. What they actually say about that. How they... By the way, their worldview, which allows for no miracles, they borrow from our worldview, the biblical Christian's worldview. They borrow from our worldview, and they want you to believe nothing produced something. Well, that's a miracle. That's not in your worldview, evolutionist. You don't believe that. You're asking me to believe science. So then why would you ask me to believe a miracle? Because they don't have any witness of the Big Bang. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible uses that term science as children whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You know, the doctors, the scientists, the astronomers, and all of those people were in Babylon. Just like they're in Babylon today. They're all there today, right? In Babylon. And they asked me to reject, right, their lack of proof, their lack of evidence, and everything else. But God's word is the Christian's authority above all else. The fear of the Lord, remember this, in all that you do, my friend, you remember this one thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Excuse me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Let me tell you something, my friend. Notice what that says there. I'm talking about the will of God on Sundays. And by the way, I will have that video for you tonight. We'll get it uploaded to YouTube for tomorrow. I'll get it on there for tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It'll go. Okay? But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. If you want to understand God better, if you want to know God better, then you'll do his commandments. When understanding the will of God, if you'll do God's commands, yeah, Maria's not a troll. She's been on here for a very long time. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Boy, there's a lot of that today, isn't there? Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. How much of that is there today? You know, this is a definition. I apologize about this slide. It didn't turn out very well on this format because we changed the format. But science is a general comprehension and understanding of truth or facts by the mind. The science of God must be perfect. Pure science, as mathematics, is built on self-evident truths, but the term science is also applied to other subjects found on generally acknowledged truths as metaphysics or on experiments and observations as chemistry and natural philosophy. So what is it? It's repeatable, testable. Right? So then science means knowledge. A man desires knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that. You and I should desire knowledge. We should desire that. That's how God made us. But we must be careful how and where we attain that knowledge. There's a danger. You know, Satan offered Eve knowledge in Genesis chapter 3. This led to the fall of mankind. Think about that for a second. Satan offered that knowledge, and you know what? Satan is still offering that knowledge today. He's still offering it to man today. And we have to be careful. Very careful. This knowledge that Eve sought after led to death because it was disobedience to God's holy command not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan tempted her that she would evolve into godhood. This is the lie of Satan still. This is that gospel of the beast. He will soon, by natural selection and survival of the fittest, go on to perfection and godhood. We see that offer in Genesis 3. How the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Don't you think it's interesting? Don't you think it's interesting that Satan told Eve what God thinks? Satan doesn't know what God thinks. He can't read the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord is past finding out. God's ways are past finding out. We know what God shows us in His Word, but God doesn't reveal everything to us. nor his reasons for everything. He never does. Man always tries to attain and reason out God. Do you want to get yourself into trouble? Try to reason everything out when it comes to the Lord. So many people have tried to do that. Try to take their intellect and their mind and try to reason out God. That's what they try to do. That's what they want to do. They want to reason out who God is. They want to reason out everything about God. Even Christians. They attempt to do that. If they don't understand something, then they try to reason it. Very common. Very common for them to try to do that. This is not the will of the Lord when God tells us to believe by faith. So the question must be asked, what is science? And what is it that Christians reject? It's important for you and I to answer those questions. That way, if someone disagrees with my worldview, they could better understand where I'm coming from. They could know, I believe the Bible. I believe God's Word is the foundation for all things. What I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to believe God. Right? That's what you and I are supposed to do. We're to live our lives believing God. But we're to explain to people the reason that of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Why we hope. And who we believe. This is observable science. Monkeys have baby monkeys. It has been observed also that monkeys throw poop. That's been observed. Does happen. I used to tell my children, monkeys in the zoo like to throw their poo. And they really do. This we can observe. We've seen this. You ain't never seen them do this. This is not observable, repeatable, and testable. It is not science. To say that man and monkey has a common ancestor. That has never been proven. They have never found it, like we talked about the missing link, still missing. Right? We don't believe that. That's silly, isn't it? It would be silly for us to believe that. Very silly. That's right. Aaron said, it's barely art. That's right. It's just ridiculous. But they know that, but they try to make you feel dumb if you don't believe that. Observable science repeatable, testable science. It uses the so-called scientific method to attempt to discover truth. Performing observable, repeatable experiments in a controlled environment to find patterns of reoccurring behavior in the present physical universe. Well, molecules to man, or monkey to man, has never been proved, has never been repeated, has never been tested, and it cannot be tested in a lab because there's no way to prove it. There's no way to test that. But that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe in their faith system. Right? They want you to believe in their faith system. We know God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. We know God talked to him. God told Job to observe science. He observed the creation. He said, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" And when you study, you find out that there are treasures. There's nutrients inside of the snow and the hail that actually help the ground, that it snows all winter long in Minnesota. And when that snow comes down, those treasures in the snow, what does it do? It's like a fertilizer for the ground. It prepares the ground for spring and for planting. Because there are treasures of the snow. How about that? Now that's repeatable. That's observable. That's testable. Just like you can water the ground, but when God waters the ground, when God waters the ground, it produces much fruit. It produces much yield. We can't do nearly what God can do with a rainstorm, can we? God told Job, "Hey, take a look at the snow. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" Interesting, isn't it? By the way, there are so many creation pictures, things to study about the creation and science in the book of Job. So much. Maybe sometime we'll go through the book of Job and we'll pull out all the scientific creation studies that are there and put them together and talk about them. Because there's so many things that God spoke to Job that Job didn't know. So many questions. I have a book somewhere that the remarkable answers, actually the remarkable record of Job is one by, I think it's Henry Morris, but there's another one of God's answers to Job, God's questions and answers to Job. And he asked Job, like, I think it was like 30 questions or something. I can't remember the exact number. I think that might be right. So it's interesting, right? Maybe we'll do that sometime. But see, this is observable right here. This is testable right here. This is repeatable. I can observe a similarity in a design, meaning we all have the same designer, but we are not all the same. Whatever similarities there are between man and animals, the similarities are because we were designed by the same great designer, God. So, of course, we are his handiwork. Creation is God's handiwork. So there will be similarities. In the handiwork. No one ever observed this. You cannot repeat this in a lab experiment. Doesn't happen. But like we talked about in the Missing Link broadcast that we did, what they'll do to you is try to get you to think, okay, like Haeckel, remember Haeckel? Remember what Haeckel did? Counterfeited those pictures and made them all look the same. And tried to say man and beast and all the, where they were all the same. Right? But there is absolutely no proof that this is Grandpa. None. No proof. There's no proof that this is your ancestor. No one has observed this. Molecules to man evolution. That life happened somewhere over here in the primordial soup, in Darwin's primordial soup, which we'll get to, by the way. And that it went from here to here to here to here to here to man, and then boom. That's not, you can't repeat that in a lab experiment. There's no way to do that. There's no evidence of such things. Right? But they would have you to believe that. They would have you to believe this by faith. They would have you to believe them by faith. Exactly what they would have, how they would have you to believe it. Because asking me to believe something like that when there is absolutely no proof that you can't, it's not repeatable, it's not testable, it's not observable. That's the problem, isn't it? Big problem. That's a big problem, isn't it? Sure is. Because now you're asking me to take on your faith system and to believe what you say. By faith. Don't ever kid yourself. They don't have any proof. Right? Operational science is the type of science that allows us to understand how DNA codes for proteins in cells. It is the type of science that has allowed us to cure and treat diseases. Put a man on the moon, which is questionable, by the way, but this is a quote by Answers in Genesis. So I'll go with it. Build satellites and telescopes and make products that are useful to humans. That's operational science. We can see it. We can look at it. We can test it. It's repeatable. It's operatable. What does Psalm 139 verse 13 tell us about DNA? For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So in other words, God wrote the ability in DNA to do many things. He wrote it because God is greater than his creation. God is greater than anything on this earth. So God being greater than that, means, quite simply, that he could write anything in he wanted to into that DNA and allow for changes, allow for things to happen, allow for that DNA to adapt, because God knows everything. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. Man was fearfully and wonderfully made. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That unperfect, you know what that means? Not complete, not mature. God knows. By the way, you know what that tells us? God takes an interest in babies. God takes an interest in those little ones in the womb. That's life. And God sees it. And God hates abortion. This is evolution. The evil fruit of evolution is abortion. It is the evil fruit of evolution. Because men were taught that they are nothing more than evolved beasts, then it is okay to kill their young. Because it is imperfect. Well, God says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Look, let's read it again. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He's describing the womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Make no mistake about it, abortion is murder. Make no mistake about it. When they try to use fancy language and say fetus, which is a little one. Fetus. Right? Mm-hmm. God says, I see it as imperfect. It's not mature yet. That doesn't matter. And that my soul knoweth right well. See it? biblical creationists believe that God has created a universe that uses a set of natural laws that operate consistently in the universe. Understanding how those laws operate is the basis for scientific thinking. See, we believe that God does things decent and in order, and that God has laws set for his creation. And that's why there are bounds to the seas. That's why there are bounds to things. That's why God speaks and holds back things. That's why what Newton or others called gravity, we could explain that as he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. See, we believe that God can suspend the natural laws of his creation. Like right here, this depiction of Moses parting the Red Sea. We believe that God is able to suspend the natural laws of his creation in a supernatural way. We believe that. Some events defy natural laws, and Christians refer to these things as miracles. But naturalistic science must find a way to explain these occurrences naturally. Like our worldview, coming from the Word of God, explains very well how Jonah could be swallowed by a whale. Right? That's right. Even the winds and the seas obey him. So God was able to speak to this whale and say, go swallow Jonah. Danielle asked the question, I've been wondering, what made you decide to cover evolution again? I don't know. Just felt led to. So I am. But here it is. God spoke to this whale and told him to go swallow Jonah. Mm-hmm. What happened too, isn't it? Evolution's approach rejects miracles in the Bible because they cannot be explained using natural laws. Such scientists occasionally try to explain the miracles in the Bible as natural phenomena. But this ultimately undermines the authority of God and his word. See, I don't apologize for any miracle in the Bible. I believe in geocentricity. Just like I believe in the virgin birth. And the virgin birth is a greater miracle than geocentricity. Right? I believe the virgin birth of Jesus Christ being born of a virgin is a greater miracle. Parting the Red Sea. And people ask me, when I covered geocentricity about a year ago through the book of Job, and or through the book of Joshua, that the sun stood still that day. You actually want me to believe that? Yeah, I do. Just like I believe in the virgin birth. Are you kidding me? People are going to think you're crazy if you believe that the sun moves and the earth stands still. Well, that's all right. They think I'm crazy because I believe in the virgin birth. They think I'm crazy because I believe that God hath raised him from the dead. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't shame me. You can't shame me into not believing the Bible and make me blush because I believe it. Let's talk about historical or origins, the science of origin, right? Yep, Becca, because it's their way of dehumanizing someone, minimizing what God has done. That's the reason they do that. No, I do not believe there's any giants walking around today. I don't believe so. I believe that there were two sets of giants. The question was asked me if Genesis 6:1 and also after that, are those the Canaanites that walk around today? No. I believe the first set of giants that did that were put in chains of everlasting darkness. I believe there were four fallen sons of God that left their first, or there were the sons of God that left their first estate in Genesis chapter 6. Those were the first ones. And God put them in chains into everlasting darkness until the judgment day. Second of all, the second group that populated the Canaanite land, the land of Canaan, I believe it was four of them. And the Bible says that two of them are bound in the river Euphrates, and the others are bound as well, waiting for the coming judgment. So I believe that that doesn't go on today because of them being bound and their fear of being bound again. I do believe, though, there's a possibility they could manipulate DNA and cause something similar to happen in the future using artificial intelligence and other things. I do believe that's possible. The science of origins. Interpreting evidence from past events based on a presupposed philosophical point of view. The past is not directly observable, testable, repeatable. I think they, Carl, I think they asked me a question. What if they are Bigfoot or Yeti out there? Do you believe they could be some type of giants? No, I believe they're hybrids. And I do believe it's possible for those to be out there. Okay, the science of origins, interpreting evidence from past events based on a presupposed philosophical point of view. The past is not directly observable, testable, repeatable, or falsifiable. So interpretations of past events present greater challenges than interpretations involving operational science. This is where historical science comes in. This is where the rub is. This is where the disagreement lies. This is where we get into origins and where how man got here. This is where that comes from. Evolutionists believe in Darwin we trust. Creationists believe in God we trust. That's the difference. One holds to a Darwinian evolution. Christians hold to God Almighty. Spoke this world into existence. Something mightier than us made us. Look at this. Psalm 8:5. For thou hast made him a little... What is man? Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Hebrews 2:7 says the same thing. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So here it is right here in Hebrews 2:9. When it speaks of Jesus being made, that's talking about his incarnation. That's what that means. His incarnation. If you get that confused, you will be confused about the eternal sonship of Christ. But if you understand the difference in his incarnation, his eternal existence as the Son of God, if you get those things confused, number one, you lose a blessing. You lose a blessing. Definitely. Number two, you get very confused. Each system is based on certain philosophical assumptions about how the earth began. Naturalistic evolution assumes that there was no God. And biblical creation assumes that there was a God who created everything in the universe. We believe that we have no questions to man's existence. We believe that something greater than us made us. Someone more powerful than us. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We believe that God created all things in 6 days. We believe it by faith. We believe it according to the eyewitness account that God gave of his creation, of how he spoke this world into existence. We do not believe that there is any shaky ground there with that. But we do believe that the evolutionistic teachings of the origins of man, or the origins of all things, are on very shaky ground, borrowing from the miraculous. We believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. They believe in the beginning soup. They believe in Darwin's primordial soup. Not so good. This is what they believe. We believe in the beginning something greater than us created all things. They believe that soup, right? Let me give you some things that sound more like a miracle than science. Are you ready? Here it is. Stephen Hawking said this: if the rate of expansion 1 second after the Big Bang had been smaller by even one part in 100,000,000,000,000, it would have recollapsed before it reached its present size. Oh, what do you think about that? mathematically not probable. Very little probability. But they're asking you to believe that. On the other hand, says Stephen Hawking, if it had been greater by a part in a million, the universe would have expanded too rapidly for stars and planets to form. Stephen Hawking. Do you understand that what he is describing is not science, but a miracle? A miracle that they don't believe in. They don't believe in miracles. But they're asking you to believe one. But to deny the God of the Bible and believe that Darwin's primordial soup evolved into a man billions and billions of years ago. Here's another one by a man named Bob Brown. We people of the earth exist because our potential was there in the Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago as the universe exploded into being. Richard Dawkins says physicists are working on the Big Bang, and one day they may or may not solve it. Physicists are dying to figure it out. They're dying to figure it out. Literally. They are dying to figure it out. Literally. See, that's what they do. That's who they are, friend. They have nothing. They cannot explain to you how that primordial soup got there. What produced it? What caused the soup to rip one and something happened? What caused gas? What caused the bad gas? How did it happen? No answers. What do I say? What do we say as Christians? Well, we know that in 6 days, God created all things. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Right? What is the pride and arrogancy of man, right? That he could believe that primordial soup would on its own evolve into a man. Over billions and billions of years. Think about the miracle you're asking me to believe. Yet I can explain to you that something more powerful than man, something greater than man, detailed and spoke this world into existence and said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God did that. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I have a detailed account of how God made man. How God made not only man, but all things. That he saved man for the sixth day. Right? But he made everything else. He spoke this word. I have a detailed account and you have soup that you can't even explain where it came from. What do they believe in? Big Bang Theory. Bang. And there it was. Right? One man said it this way. For example, if the Big Bang had been one part in a billion more powerful, it would have rushed out too fast for the galaxies to form and for life to begin. Robert Lanza. One part in a billion. Too big. Do you get it? One part in a billion. Too big. And it would have exploded everything on the scene. And they expect you to believe that. Not to mention the fact that there was nothing there in the first place. But they expect you to believe that. Think about that. This is what they, this is their idea of science. We all have the same evidence. We just interpret it differently. Right? See, evolutionists often claim that people misuse the word theory when discussing science. And that they don't make a distinction between a scientific theory and the common use of the word theory. This is their game they play. You may say, I have a theory about why Mr. Jones's hair looks funny. But that theory has never been compared to a broad set of observations. This is not the sense of a theory in science. I have a theory why Mr. Jones's hair looks funny. See that? Here's my theory. That he did this. It'll never do that again. I don't think he wants to repeat that, does he? See, what they would have you to believe is Newton, like Newton's discovery, discovers anti-gravity. Ouch. Well, it's a good theory. Don't fall from a plane. Right? I'm not going to jump out. Because I know that I'm going to fall. Makes sense? An operational theory, an explanation of a set of facts based on a broad set of repeatable, testable observations that is generally accepted within a group of science. Evolution has been elevated to the status of an operational theory and a fact, in the opinion of some, is not due to the strength of the evidence, but in spite of it. See, like Kent Hovind covered many years ago in his Lies in Textbooks that actually influenced children and influenced generations. They knew these things were lies in all the textbooks, and they kept those lies in there. They kept all those things in there to deceive the masses. And how many children died and went to hell believing those things? How many of them died and went to hell, became adults, died, and went to hell? Right? Believing in those lies that were in there. Because they just continued to tell the lies. Because evolutionary ideas are interpretations of past events. They are not as well founded as testable scientific theories like Einstein's theory of relativity or Newton's theory of gravity, which you can disagree with, by the way. But there's some testability to some of those things. Molecules to man is not an observable theory. We don't have any examples of that. We don't have any examples of that, do we? Yet they expect you to believe it. One man said, when people really understand the Big Bang and the whole sweep of the evolution of the universe, it will be clear that humans are fairly insignificant. Richard Dawkins said this, of course we would love to know more about the exact moment of Big Bang, but interposing an outside intelligence does nothing to add to that knowledge, as we still know nothing about the creation of that intelligence. Wait a minute, genius. What you're saying is that something happened, and you know you can't prove that nothing produced something. Yes. That's exactly what they are saying, without saying it in so many words. They cannot prove what they believe. So they ask you to believe it by faith. That's what they're doing. Here's Darwin with his pet monkey. An explanation of past events based on the interpretation of evidence that is available in the present. That's a historical theory. Evolution fits this definition of theory, but it relies on the assumption of naturalism. In the naturalistic scientific community, evolution has become a theory that is assumed to be an established fact and not an explanation. Evolution is the prevailing paradigm, and most scientists have stopped questioning the underlying assumptions that the theory is based upon. So in other words, they just believe it by faith. But yet they'll chide Christians for believing God's word by faith. They'll chide God's people for believing the word of God. And they'll mock Christians for believing God. That's what they do. Because they hate God, that's why. They hate him. You know, we have theories. We develop theories, too, as creationists in the light of biblical truth. But they're not as widely accepted by scientists, are they? All interpretations or theories of the past are based on assumptions and cannot be equated with facts that are observable in the present. This holds true for creationists as well as evolutionist theories. Why? Because we believe by faith. We believe what God says. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them and said, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This is what God said. And he says it again in Genesis chapter 2, These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. See, we have a detailed eyewitness account of creation. Of what God did. And even told us how he did it. And we have to believe it by faith. We believe it by faith. I can't prove that God spoke this world into existence. But I believe it by faith. God never told me to prove it. He told me to believe it. God told me to believe it. Believe the record of His Word. Believe the record that He gave us of His only begotten Son. God explained that. He explained the dominion that man is to have over beasts, over creeping things. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, into the Garden of Eden, to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. He explained it to man, right? God showed us how He made man and what man's purpose is. You know what? Science can't tell you. Science can't, evolutionary science cannot tell you how God made man. Evolutionary science can't tell you man's purpose in life. Why he's here. Why is there a law written on his heart? Why does man know? Why does man know that he's not supposed to kill, that he's not supposed to steal? That he's not supposed to commit adultery, that he's not supposed to steal somebody else's wife. Why does man know those things? Why does he have dominion over animals? Because he was given a mandate from the Creator to do it. That's why he has dominion. Why was man made? What was God's purpose? Why is woman made? What is her purpose? All those things come from God's Word. All those things come from the record. Man's existence. Why he is here and what his purpose is. And the mandate of dominion. God. That's why. That's why. Man was made to worship the Lord. Man was made to serve God forever. Man was made to honor and glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why. Why did he make woman? What was the purpose? What is the woman's purpose? To be a helpmeet. That's her purpose. God made her to be a helpmeet to man. And you know something? Satan, through this world system, because he's the god of this world, teaches the opposite. They have no answer for why that's like that. So why do you think they turn to such nonsense now? Why do you think they turn to make man and woman equal and the same and make them unisex and invent new genders and all these other things? Because, Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine of vain things? For the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's why. They don't want that. Why? Because if the Bible's true, then we need to obey it. If God's word is true, then we need to follow it. And there's a higher purpose than my own will. There's a higher purpose than my feelings and what I want. But if I'm just Darwin's primordial soup, then I'm my own, and I can do what I please. There's a teaching by evolutionists, right? And they teach that it's called uniformitarianism theory. It's an assumption that the process in the universes have been in the universe have been occurring at a constant rate, the rate of rock formation and erosion. If rocks form at a certain rate, now they must have always formed at that rate. They see erosion as by the same principle. No one has ever seen that, though. That's a historical theory. We have a theory as well. That there was a worldwide flood that changed the earth forever. That God flooded this whole world. That the judgment of God changed the world forever. Of which evolutionists are willingly ignorant of. Right? Willingly ignorant of. That means ignorant on purpose. The Bible tells us of a worldwide flood that would have devastated the earth, that would have created a landscape of billions of dead things, like the song says, buried in rock layers, laid down by water, all over the earth. That's why we have the fossil records that we do. Buried in the earth. That's why we see the dinosaurs, and that's why we see giants, and we see other things buried in rock layers, laid down by water. It's not billions of years, but billions of dead things. That's why you visit the Grand Canyon, you look up in rocks, and there's fossils in the rocks. Fully formed fossils. Right? because there was a worldwide flood, because God judged the world and he destroyed the world by water. And he's going to destroy the world by fire. He's going to do it again. God's going to destroy the earth again by fire. He's going to melt the earth with fervent heat. Just as evolutionists weren't there to see evolution happen over several billions of years, neither were creationists there to see the events of the 6 days of creation. Here's the difference, though. Creationists have the Creator's eyewitness account of the events of creation, while evolutionists must create a story to explain origins without the supernatural. See, we have an eyewitness. They gave great detail in how he made all things. Great detail. But creationists, we have that eyewitness account, right? Evolutionists don't have that. They don't even have any. They borrow from our worldview and make a miracle out of the Big Bang. But just because many scientists believe the story doesn't make it true. Good operational science can provide us with answers to many questions about the world around us and how it operates, but it cannot answer the questions of where we came from and why we are here. The Bible has the answer for that. It all comes down to faith, my friend. That's where it all comes down to. We all have the same evidence. Creation and evolutionists. They have the record that God gave of his only begotten son. They have the record of creation that God gave. They have that record, but they choose to ignore that record. Right? They choose to ignore it. That's what they do. Jeremiah 2:27, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise that they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. So God is saying, hey, you know what? There's going to come a day when they're going to say to a stock, thou art my father. And to a stone thou hast brought me forth. That's what's going on right now. That's what the evolutionists believe. The gospel of the beast. The good news of primordial soup. Darwin's soup. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. What does Romans chapter 1 say about them? Here we go. Let's see. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein for the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him for the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. That's them. That's what they believe. They changed the image of God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts. Evolution. The Bible has the answer that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that all things were created in 6 days. That we were made in the image of God, that God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, that we were made to glorify God. And that's the purpose of our entire existence, is to please God and to enjoy Him forever. In conclusion, we have historical science and theories. We have observational science and theories. Creation and evolutionists have the same information. We have different suppositions. God recorded everything as an eyewitness. His record is infallible and to be accepted by faith. And we see evidences of His hand in His creation. There is observable and reliable science in the Bible. Evolution is a historical theory, not an observable one. We need to remember that when they come at us with all their talk and all their wisdom, professing themselves to be wise. What did they become? Fools. So the Bible says, that's what God's word explains to us, right? Okay, let's see. Let me see if I can find the song I'm looking for here. And if you want to say hi, I'll give you a chance to. I wonder if that's the one I'm looking for. Let's see if it is.
On the first day of creation, God created the heavens and earth. On the second day, our God of love made earth's blue sky above. On the third day, the Lord was busy making the land and seas. He made everything from little tiny flowers to the great big redwood trees. God made it all. The Lord God made it all. His hand made all things great and small. The Lord God made it all. On the fourth day of creation,
God created balls of light. He made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. On day number 5, the birds came alive and flew across the sky. God also made the fish with shiny scales and the whales with whopping tails. God made it all. The Lord God made it all. His hand made all things great and small. The Lord God made it all. On the 6th day of creation, our God created more. He made the creepy, crawly things and animals galore. Then last of all, the Lord God said, there's one more thing I plan. Our God reached down and took a little dust and he formed the perfect man. On day number 7, God looked over earth and heaven. He said, I've done my best, now it's time for me to rest. God made it all, the Lord God made it all. His hand made all things great and small, the Lord God made it all. God made it all, the Lord God made it all. His hand made all things great and small, the Lord God made it all.
Amen. God made it all. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. God made all things great and small. He made everything, amen? So good thing to remember and to always keep in focus and to teach our children the truth. You know, it's good for them to learn, amen? All of us to remember and to be reminded and understand, amen? God's goodness to us and how he created all things. By the word of his power, right? So anyway, God bless you all. I hope you are doing well and you have a good week this week. We will be back on, probably going to be back on Friday. I should be. Shouldn't be any problem with that, but I should be doing a broadcast on Friday. I was going to bring the street preaching one today, but I decided to do this one. So I might do the street preaching one tomorrow. On Friday. So you can pray for us about that. That all goes well there with that broadcast there as we get some more good stuff in for that. We have a ton of videos, by the way. Just a ton of videos to bring you about that. So I could go through a lot of different broadcasts or a lot of different street preaching encounters and everything like that. A lot of good stuff there. Amen. But all that. So anyway, good night, Leonard. Hope you have a good night and all that. Listen, tonight I'll be on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. That's in about 3 hours and 45 minutes. Actually about 3 hours and 55 minutes or so, somewhere around 4 hours from now. We'll be live on Sermon Audio if you're in the same time zone. Sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. If you go there, you can listen to our sermon tonight on Festus, the typical unbeliever. And hopefully that'll be a blessing to you if you get a chance to listen live. If not, we'll put it on. I will put that one on tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Central Time. I'll put on as a live premiere the sermon that I preached on Sunday that I want you to hear on the will of God, even your sanctification and in dealing with moral separation from sin. That was a pretty strong message that all of God's people really need to hear and grow. Okay? Anyway, pray for us. Pray for our ministry. Pray the Lord continue to bless us and guide our steps. If you'd like to give to our ministry, you can. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. Or you can mail us something right here. We have our mailing address right here. If you'd like to mail us something for our ministry and for our needs and everything like that, that would be a blessing. If not, we definitely could use the prayers that you continue to pray for us, that God will use someone else to provide for those needs that we have, and thank God for it. Let's see, and, you know, we do Cash App, and there's all sorts of different things, Apple Pay and all kinds of other things that are out there that people do and have sent us money with. Man, I'll tell you what, it's kind of Coinbase app that does cryptocurrency and all kinds of things. So God provides for us, amen, and he uses his people to provide, and we appreciate that. But anyway, God bless you all. I hope you learned something. I hope it was a blessing to you, for sure, and helped you out in learning and growing and being what God would have you to be and strengthen you in your faith, amen. And all right, anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We will see you very soon, Lord willing.